Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm your reader, Grace Barter. A Waterloo man with a history of allegedly stealing trucks has been charged with allegedly stealing another truck. This time, police say 41-year-old Walter David Ayton drove off in a 2024 International semi-cab that was parked at a shop at 701 Jones Road in Evansdale around 4 p.m. on Monday. Witnesses reported finding Ayton's styrofoam-encased bicycle abandoned at the scene and seeing the semi-cab driving up over a flood control dike and heading down a bike path toward Deerwood Park. Later that day, the cab was spotted parked at a house at 2515 Idaho Street in Waterloo, about 5 miles away. Ayton was inside a building on the property, and police found the semi key in his pocket. Ayton told police he needed the cab to jumpstart an excavator, and he said his bike was covered in styrofoam in case he got in an accident, court records state. Evansdale police arrested Ayton for first-degree theft, and bond was set at $15,000. Court records indicate at the time of the semi-theft, Ayton was on escape status from the Waterloo residential facility where he was serving time for driving a stolen Hino Motors box truck in Waterloo on November 24th. He also has a prior misdemeanor theft conviction for an October 2022 incident where a police officer found him carrying a recently detached no parking sign and an act. Authorities are pursuing federal charges for a Waterloo man who was found with a handgun during a 2023 traffic stop. Torian Tomas Bird, 24, was charged with felon in possession of a firearm in U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids. He had an initial court appearance April 18th and was detained pending a further hearing. According to court records, Bird's DNA and the DNA of another person was found on the grip, slide, trigger, and magazine of a .40 caliber Glock Model 23 pistol that police found in a glove box during an April 27, 2023 traffic stop in the 1500 block of Washington Street. Bird is prohibited from handling firearms because of a prior felony conviction, and at the time of the traffic stop, he was on parole for a 2016 home robbery. A Coggin man has been hospitalized after his motorcycle collided with a deer on Tuesday. William Vosding, 89, was traveling north in the 2500 block of Buffalo Creek Boulevard, southeast of Winthrop, around 1:55 p.m. when the deer ran into the roadway, according to the Buchanan County Sheriff's Office. Vosding was thrown from the motorcycle. He was flown to University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City and is expected to recover, according to the Sheriff's Office. Winthrop Fire Department, AMR Ambulance, and Lifeguard Air Ambulance assisted at the scene. A Waterloo man has been charged with stabbing an acquaintance following an early morning argument. Authorities allege Bobby Lee Porter Jr., 47, slapped a woman at her home at 219 Mohawk Street around 3 a.m. Tuesday. Another person at the address, Jorge Vega Cortez, stepped in to intervene, and Porter stabbed Cortez in the back and hand during the ensuing scuffle, according to court records. The back wound came close to his spinal cord, police said. Cortez and the woman fled to the police station, and officers detained Porter when they arrived at the Mohawk Street address and found him with blood on his shoes and a cut on his arm. Porter is charged with willful injury causing serious injury and assault causing bodily injury, according to court records. A Cedar Falls man was taken to the hospital for burns after his lawnmower caught fire on Monday afternoon. The man was working on a riding mower at Cedar Village Community Mobile Home Park, 2508 Union Road, when the fire broke out. The man received burns to his legs, and the flames spread to a nearby shed. Crews with the Cedar Falls Fire Rescue and Police and Mercy One Ambulance responded to the call. The man was conscious and alert at the scene and is expected to survive, officials said. A social media post over the weekend prompted a brief investigation by authorities and led to a notice by Waverly School officials. It's important that you know that we are not aware of any threats having been made towards the school or any individuals, Superintendent Ed Klamfuth wrote in a message to Waverly Shell Rock Community School District families. Although all indications at this time are that no laws were broken in this instance, we encourage you to remind your students about responsible online behavior and to monitor their social media activity, the message continued. He said school officials are working with law enforcement in the investigation. The Butler County Sheriff's Office looked into the matter. The Waterloo Community School District's property tax collections will increase nearly 7% after the Board of Education approved the 2024-25 budget on Monday. The district will collect $40.57 million in property and utility replacement excise taxes for the fiscal year starting July 1st. That is an increase of $2.56 million, or 6.74%, from the current fiscal year. The budget was approved 6-1, with at-large board member Lyle Schmidt voting against it. The property tax rate will be $13.98 per $1,000 of taxable value. That is a 62-cent increase from the current tax rate. The district's property tax rates have been decreasing or stagnant for the past 10 years. In fiscal year 2015, the tax rate was $15.97. Jeff Sommerfeld, the district's chief financial officer, said one of the reasons for the increase in askings is because the district's COVID-19 relief funding has dried up. In 2021, the district received nearly $34 million in elementary and secondary school emergency relief funds. The money was part of the American Rescue Plan Act, a federal aid response to the pandemic. Negotiations for bargaining positions, insurance premium costs, and inflation are also contributing to the increase. The state is also giving a 2.5% in-state supplemental aid to districts, or funding provided per pupil when it was previously as high as 4%. For a house valued at $100,000, property owners will owe $648 on the district's portion of their tax bills. Commercial property owners with a $500,000 assessed value will pay $5,376. Industrial property owners with a $1 million assessed value will pay $11,667. New assessment values are not calculated into that equation. The average growth in assessed values for Blackhawk County effective with the new fiscal year is about 21%. The district's total budget will also increase 19.46% from $208 million to $248.56 million. The budget includes expenses of $105.39 million for instruction, $55.7 million for total support services, $9.89 million for non-instructional programs, and $77.57 million for other expenditures. Those include such costs as facilities acquisition and construction, debt service, and area education agency support. Total revenues are estimated to be about $263.3 million. Along with property taxes, the district will receive other local revenues as well as funding from state and federal sources. An estimated $5.43 million will come from tuition, transportation, earnings on investment, nutrition program sales, student activities and sales, and other local revenues. State sources of revenue are estimated at $121.44 million, and federal funds are estimated at $21.21 million. The Board of Education Monday approved participation in a program that could cost Waterloo Community Schools more than market rates for utilities. The board voted 4-2 with one abstention to join a local government risk pool to purchase natural gas at a stable rate. The cost to join the risk pool is $599,161. Board members Lyle Schmidt and Jesse Knight opposed the purchase, while Stacy Mills abstained. The district will pay an annual premium to the risk pool at the beginning of the school year, which covers all of its natural gas services for 12 months. Currently, 155 school districts are part of the program. The premium is based on historical usage. It will be paid from the district's management fund instead of the traditional general fund. Jeff Sommerfeld, the district's chief financial officer, said the purchase won't necessarily save the district money, but provides other benefits. Over the course of the last 5 years, the natural gas costs that we pay directly to MidAmerican Energy has ranged anywhere from $272,000 a year to $737,000 a year, he said. That much fluctuation causes a great deal of difficulty in budgeting and planning. He said if the utilities come back lower than the nearly $600,000 the district spends, there is an opportunity for some reimbursement. The premium is set higher in case of emergencies, such as the deep freeze in Texas, which affected utility rates. Schmidt, adamantly against the proposal, stated that outside of that deep freeze year, the district's natural gas bill is usually around $300,000 to $400,000. Utilities are traditionally paid out of the district's general operating fund. That fund also pays for things like salaries, transportation, and support services. Miller said she saw both sides of the argument. Board member Janelle Ewing also put emphasis on the utilities money being available in the general fund. The participation in the pool is only for the 24-25 school year. The board also awarded two contracts to Larson Construction for the infill projects at East and West High Schools. The project at West will cost $489,000, and the project at East will cost $539,000. Awarded a contract to Hawkeye Alarm and Signal Company to install security cameras at East and West High Schools at a total cost of $278,200, which will be paid for with a Stronger Connections grant. Approved providing information to students and families about safe firearm storage, as well as continuing to advocate for mental health funding. Approved a memorandum of understanding with Leader in Me at a cost of $65,100. The Cedar Falls Board of Education gave the 24-25 budget, including a 2.1% increase in property tax collections, the stamp of approval on Monday. In a 5 8-0 vote, the board adopted the $116.54 million budget for the fiscal year starting July 1st. Property tax revenues will grow to $35.3 million from $34.68 million in the current year. Board members Jenny Leeper and Nate Gruber were absent due to scheduling conflicts. The property tax rate is dropping to $14.78 per $1,000 of taxable valuation from $15.28 now. The state determined residential rollback, or the percentage of a property's assessed value that can be taxed, is also dropping significantly. On a $100,000 home whose value didn't increase, the Cedar Falls Community School District portion of the owner's property tax bill would decline from $835 to $686, or from $761 to $614 if the homestead credit is factored in. However, individual property values are likely to have increased. Black Hawk County did a revaluation of properties. The district's taxable valuation has grown 4.21%, which accounts for growth in property values as well as any expansion of the tax base through additional development. Still, officials credited Chief Financial Officer Danelle Gonerman for the reduced tax rate. Gonerman explained that the board only has direct control over 19% of the property taxes collected. Another 50% is the combined district cost, largely driven by enrollment and a myriad of other factors established by the legislature. The remaining 31% is the voter-approved debt service for big building projects, including the new high school that's expected to open on West 27th Street this fall, and a portion of the physical plant and equipment levy. PPEL funds are helping the district pay for its new swimming facility, known as the Natatorium, next door to the new high school. It will replace the pools at the middle schools. Property tax collections are one funding stream in the district's total revenues, estimated at $108.45 million. Other local funding is projected at $14.81 million, including revenue generated from tuition, student activities, and income surtaxes. All state funding totals $51.08 million in the budget, including $43.2 million in state aid. Aid is increasing by 2.5% on average across the state, as had been proposed by Governor Kim Reynolds. For Cedar Falls, that came out to be 2.6%. Federal funding is set at $3.29 million. On the expenditure side, instruction is set at $55 million, support services total $25.64 million, and non-instructional programs come to $3.37 million. Facilities, acquisition, and construction are projected at $13.58 million. Debt service, principal, interest, and fiscal charges is set at $15.73 million, and another $3.22 million is considered direct support to area education agencies. In other business, the board approved the appointment of Jeremy Knutson as associate principal at Holmes Junior High School at a starting salary of $108,000. According to Adrian Talbot, Human Resources Executive Director, he'll start July 1st and replace Justin Urbanek, who is being elevated to the same position at the high school. Urbanek is taking the place of Jeremy White, who's been filling the role in the interim since Lindsay Spears left last summer, said Talbot. The first swimmers could be in the water at Cedar Falls Community School's new aquatics facility this time next year, according to Superintendent Andy Patty. Funding has been identified for the remainder of the increase in estimated costs that was first revealed nearly 2 years ago. Patty shared the latest Monday with the Board of Education on the timeline in response to a request for an update from Board Member R.J. Meyer. The new natatorium is being constructed on the campus of the new high school on West 27th Street, which is slated to open this fall. Officials are working with engineers on final design and anticipate awarding bids for the second and final phase by the summer, Patty said. The plan includes a 10-lane competition pool and a shallow 4-lane pool for lessons. The facility will include locker rooms, offices, and support spaces, along with seating for 400 to 500 spectators. Total area is estimated at 38,500 square feet. Estimated costs ballooned nearly 2 years ago from approximately $16 million to between $21 and $22 million. The project was broken into two phases, while school officials and a passionate community group, Jump In, were tasked with finding a way to close the gap. The board approved an agreement formalizing the use of the city's $400,000 Community Attraction and Tourism Grant from the Iowa Economic Development Authority. That comes after the Blackhawk County Gaming Association gave $500,000 earlier this year. The school district committed $8.1 million in physical plant and equipment levy funds. After the projected increase in cost, the city increased its contribution from $5.1 million to $8 million. Jump In organizers have raised $3.7 million through 550 contributors, ranging from individuals and businesses to foundations and institutions, according to co-chairs Tracy Malaro and Laura Lee Redfern. The initial goal had been $3.3 million. The total includes Blackhawk County and the Cedar Falls Health Trust Fund. Board's contributions of $150,000 and $25,000, respectively. After the school board meeting, Patty confirmed the district has a grip now on how to cover all of the estimated cost and highlighted Tom and Ginger Penaluna's recent gift of $310,000 as helping to meet its goal. The university police investigator who cracked a three-decade-old identity theft case is getting national honors for his work. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Iowa formally recognized Detective Ian Mallory with the University of Iowa Police Department as part of National Crime Victims Rights Week, bestowing upon him the Law Enforcement Victim Services Award. Mallory took the step of ordering the DNA test that exposed Matthew David Kearns, a Wisconsin resident who used the identity of California resident William Bill Woods to land a top IT job at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City, take out loans from a Waterloo-based credit union, and open a policy with a Waverly-based insurance carrier. Mallory's commendation, noted Kieran's scam masquerading as Bill Woods, caused the real Woods to be jailed, found mentally incompetent, and ordered to receive psychotropic medication when he tried to regain his identity. Detective Mallory's persistence and commitment to finding justice for this victim is a credit to himself, the University of Iowa Police Department, and the entire Iowa law enforcement community, Mallory's commendation states. Authorities said Kearns began using Woods' identity shortly after working with him at a hot dog stand in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 1988. The matter heated up in 2019 when Woods attempted to close out a bank account Kearns had set up using Woods' identity. Kierens 58 of Heartland, Wisconsin, referred to as Wisconsin Bill in court records, pleaded to false statement to a credit union and aggravated identity theft in U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids on April 1st. Other officers receiving the Law Enforcement Victim Services Award in Northern Iowa were Detectives Michael Sitzman and Nate West of the Sioux City Police Department, Investigator Joaquin Orduno of the South Sioux City Police Department, and Special Agent Bradley Colligan of the FBI. They were recognized for their outstanding investigation and advocacy that led to the successful prosecution of Kevin Spratt, perpetrator of at least 5 armed robberies during 1 month in 2022 within the Siouxland area. 6 of the area's high schools were among the top 25% of public high schools in the U.S., according to a report released Tuesday. U.S. News and World Report looked at nearly 18,000 high schools across the nation and ranked them based on college readiness with advanced placement and international baccalaureate exams, reading, math and science proficiency, performance of underserved students, and graduation rates. There are 317 high schools and 16 in the Waterloo-Cedar Falls metro areas. The 6 area schools in the nation's top 25% are also in the top 10% for the state. Those include Cedar Falls, Denver, Hudson, Waverly-Shell Rock, Waterloo West, and Grundy Center. These schools also climbed the charts from where they were last year when only Cedar Falls and Denver were in the top 25%. Waterloo West and East climbed significantly in the rankings. West jumped up more than 3,000 spots, while East rose at least 1,219 spots. Last year, East was in the bottom 25% of schools, so it received a range rather than a specific ranking. Schools in the bottom quarter this year are BCLUW, Dunkerton, and Janesville. Tripola also made its way out of the bottom 25% this year. Cedar Falls High School ranked first out of the 16 in the metro area. It is 12th in the state and has a national ranking of 2,316. The next 3 high schools in the area are Denver, Hudson, and Waverly-Shell Rock. Waterloo West is ranked number 5 and Waterloo East at 11. Expo in Waterloo is not included in the ranking because their enrollment was too small to be analyzed. Based on the percentage of a state's high school in the top 25% of the rankings, Iowa sits at 44 of the 50 states. States performing lower than Iowa include Mississippi, South Dakota, North Dakota, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Maine. Iowa City's West Senior High is the only school in the state in the top 5% of the nation, in 626th place. There are 7 schools in the top 10% and 31 in the top 25%. Massachusetts is the top-ranked state, with 43.9% of its high schools in the top quarter across the country. Hawkeye Community College President Todd Holcomb says the latest 3.25% raises for non-unionized staff are meant to keep up with inflation and cost of living. But there were rumblings Tuesday to look into even higher salary increases before the Board of Trustees voted 8-0 in favor of the recommended 3.25% for each of the 215 full-time and 69 part-time workers for the academic year spanning July 1, 2024 through June 30, 2025. Trustee Casey McLaughlin was absent. "I just want to make sure we're competitive and don't lose people," said Trustee Louis Beck, During one of the longer meeting discussions, his comment followed his visit Thursday to the open house and dedication for the newly renovated Grundy Hall, where he recalled meeting impressive employees. The cost is approximately $475,000 to increase the salaries. The same raise had been given to faculty, all 104 of which are unionized and part of Hawkeye Professional Educators Association after a two-year bargaining agreement was approved last year. Both unionized and non-unionized staff got 3% bumps for the current year. The administration largely recognizes the current job market as difficult, and that is only made more challenging by the cost of insurance. However, officials reassured trustees that they're looking at more than just salaries. Not only do we look at the salaries, but we're looking at the different benefits we put in place. Remote work. We put in place summer hours. We're looking at the whole package, said Susan Hauber, Human Resources Executive Director. Jay Nardini, board chairperson, reminded his colleagues that their powers are limited due to the state. Administrators pointed out most employees could find better paying jobs, but decide to stay at Hawkeye because of their love for the work. Trustee Christine Hutchison pushed for the board to look into a merit-based system or the flexibility within departments to add extra for those who go beyond the standard expectation. Holcomb said it's been discussed extensively and noted a desire to continue exploring the possibility. They did receive some pushback, however. You are listening to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Thursday, April 25th, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now, let's turn to today's obituaries. Irene Hannah Elizabeth Farr Clough, 104 years old, of Dysart, went home to be with her Savior on Saturday, April 20th, at Sunrise Hill Assisted Living in Trey. Doxy, 36, of Waverly, passed away on Saturday, April 20th, at Unity Point Health, Allen Hospital in Waterloo. She was born June 24, 1987, in Waterloo. Abby graduated from Clarksville High School, where she played basketball and volleyball with the class of 2005, then from Wartburg College in 2009. She married Matt Morrill in July 2013, and they were later divorced. Abby married Wesley Doxy in Nashville, Tennessee, on October 22, 2022. She worked as a graphic designer for Wolverton Printing. Abby's funeral service will be at 10 a.m. at Nazareth Lutheran Church on Saturday, April 27th, with visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday at Dahl Van Hove Schoof Funeral Home, both of Cedar Falls. Burial will be at Oak Hill Cemetery of New Hartford. Memorials may be directed to Camp Hurtko Hollow in Boone. Robert Green, 77, of Cedar Rapids, passed away on April 21, 2024 at Cottage Grove, Cedar Rapids. His visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on Friday, April 26th at St. Matthew Catholic Church in Cedar Rapids. The funeral mass is at 11 a.m. on Friday, April 26th at the church. Burial will be in Greenwood Cemetery in Cedar Falls at a later date. Bob was born in Melrose, Massachusetts on November 11, 1946. He grew up in Cedar Falls, graduated from Cedar Falls High School, honorably served in the Navy, and graduated from Upper Iowa University. Bob married Madonna Murphy on June 11, 1971, in Cedar Falls. He was a purchasing agent for Vector Corporation, Rockwell Goss, and Universal Engineering. Memorials may be made to the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Donald Hare, age 95, of Waverly died Sunday, April 21st, at the Waverly Health Care Center. Visitation will be held on Wednesday, April 24th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Kaiser Corson Funeral Home in Waverly. Funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, April 25th at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Waverly. Burial will follow at Harlington Cemetery. Memorials may be directed to Don's family for later designation. Delphine Johnson was called home from April 16th after a courageous battle with chronic heart failure, just 15 days shy of her 100th birthday. A celebration of life will be 2 p.m. Tuesday, May 7th, in the Celebration Center at Friendship Haven. Dell was born in Nakoma, North Dakota on May 1st, 1924, a special May Day gift for her parents. She was 100% Norwegian and very proud of that heritage. She lived in Edmore, North Dakota, growing up where her father was a blacksmith. As a young girl, she was riding on the back of her father's tractor, fell and was dragged by a well digger and almost lost her life. Dell was a high school basketball star and member of the Pep Squad. According to her classmates, she was the best dancer around, especially when it came to the jitterbug. She loved it so much she continued dancing her entire life. After high school, Dell moved to Grand Forks, North Dakota, where, with her cousin, they were the best waitresses around at Uptown Cafe. Delphine was married to Leland Johnson on November 4, 1949, in Michigan, North Dakota. They were blessed to share and celebrate 64 years of marriage. She was a 75-year member of the American Legion Auxiliary Post 21 in Lakota, North Dakota, the American Bowling Association, and the Lakota Lutheran Church. She worked many years at JCPenney and Sears. Memorials may be left to the Friendship Haven Good Samaritan Fund or the American Legion Auxiliary Post 21 in Lakota, North Dakota. Clarence Schaefer, 87, of Waterloo, died Saturday, April 20th at Mercy One Waterloo Medical Center. He was born July 1st, 1936 in Jamestown, North Dakota. He graduated from Waterloo West High School in 1954. Clarence married Sharon Young, September 15, 1956, at First Baptist Church in Waterloo. He worked at Rath Packing Company for 30 years until Rath closed in 1985. He then worked for Wonder Bakery until his retirement in 2000. Funeral services will be 10:30 a.m. Monday, April 29th at St. Ansgar Lutheran Church in Waterloo. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday, April 28th at Lock at Tower Park in Waterloo. Also for 1 hour prior to the services at the church. Memorials may be directed to St. Ansgar Lutheran Church. Robert Sherman Jr., age 79, passed away on Monday, April 15th. Robert Bob was born on January 16th, 1945, in West Union. He lived with his family in Donnan, Iowa, and the surrounding area. In 1951, the family moved to Lincoln. He attended Lincoln High School and the Gladbrook School until he graduated 8th grade. Bob continued to live with his parents in Lincoln. He worked on the farms of his two brothers-in-law and eventually helped other local farmers. He loved working on the farms. Bob also push-mowed many lawns in Lincoln, and he mowed at the only speed he knew, which was fast. Bob was honored with an article in the Waterloo Courier for his dedication for delivering the newspapers to his customers in Lincoln for 16 years. Bob's pride and joy was putting up and taking down the American flag for the AMVETS every day. He was honored as Lincoln's Citizen of the Year in 2001. A memorial service was held on Friday, April 19th at Christ Lutheran Church in Gladbrook. burial was in Maple Hill Cemetery in Gladbrook. William Winder, 90, of Waterloo, passed away April 24th at Wellspring Health Center, Friendship Village. He was born November 21st, 1933, in Waterloo. He married Ardella Louise Buter on September 12, 1959, at First United Methodist Church in Waterloo. She preceded him in death May 4, 2019. He was a business manager for the Kearns Diekman Chapel and later the Kearns Huseman Schumacher Chapel on Kimball, retiring in June of 2000. He continued to work in the general operations of the business until 2013. He then worked part-time for the Haggerty Wyckoff Grarup Funeral Service. Bill was past president of the Waterloo Lions Club. He was active member of Boy Scouts of America for over 50 years. As a youth, he became a member of the Wakosha Lodge, the National Honor Camping Fraternity, earning the Vigil Honor in 1953 and served as chief of the lodge in 1953 and 1954. He became the advisor of the Wakosha Lodge as an adult when the Winnebago and Wapsipinicon Councils merged in 1972, so did their lodges. The Ioyas and Wakosha Lodges became the new Sac and Fox Lodge. Bill remained as advisor, a post in which he served a total of 24 years. He also served on the National Committee of the Order of the Arrow for 8 years and was awarded the Distinguished Service Award in 1971. He was presented the Silver Beaver Award in 1975 and was presented with the Founders Award in 1984. Bill served many years on the Winnebago Council Executive Board and on the Council Camping Committee. Services will be 10 a.m. Saturday, April 27th at the First United Methodist Church with burial in the Waterloo Memorial Park Cemetery. Public visitation will be 4 to 6 p.m. Friday, April 26th at Haggerty Wyckoff Grarup Funeral Service on West Ridgeway and for an hour before services. Those who wish may direct memorials to the church or the Cedar Bend Humane Society. On to some local sports. Dirk Homewood will not make any radical changes to his formula this week. Instead, the Cedar Falls head boys track and field coach said the Tigers will head to Des Moines for the 3-day all-class Drake relays with the same message as previous seasons in mind. To Homewood, the Drake relays does not represent the mountaintop, but the start of the final ascent. And Cedar Falls took full advantage of the meet, perfectly situated between the Tigers' final regular season meet and the Mississippi Valley Conference Mississippi Divisional meet, earning 16 separate qualifications, 10 individuals and 6 relays, for the 114th running of the Drake relays. Jordan Townsend sees the meet through the same lens. Though personal glory calls as the junior enters the open 400-meter dash as the event's second-seeded competitor, qualifying with a time of 48.3 seconds, Townsend remains focused on a team championship at the state meet in a little more than 3 weeks. Townsend shaved nearly 2 seconds off his 2023 personal best time of 50.22 seconds to earn a spot at the Drake Relays in an individual event for the first time after previously competing as a member of Cedar Falls 4x400-meter relay at Drake. I was ranked like 30th last year. I kept going down to number 2 this year. I did not think it was possible, but it was, Townsend said. He credited his steady improvement. He has shaved around 2 seconds off his 400-meter personal best each year of high school to the coaching staff at Cedar Falls. Homewood offered a slightly different perspective on Townsend's ascent, though he also praised the work of his staff. Townsend knows he is part of a strong tradition at Cedar Falls, and he is excited to carry it on Friday night. The high school portion of the Drake Relays begins at 2:30 on Thursday. A full schedule of events can be found at GoDrakeBulldogs.com. The Cyclones offered first. Carson Nielsen did not expect to land an offer from Iowa State when he traveled to Ames on October 7th. However, after watching the Cyclones beat the TCU Horned Frogs 27-14, Nielsen received an offer from Iowa State offensive line coach Ryan Clanton. The 6'7", 275-pound prospect admitted he had only just started focusing on working to make the next level following his freshman year at Waterloo West. The Cyclones offered first, and it came as a surprise, but it did not prove the difference in landing the coveted 4-star offensive lineman. An offer from North Dakota State followed soon thereafter as former Bison head coach and West alum Matt Entz looked to snag the latest star from his alma mater. Nielsen's third offer came with more Waterloo connections as Columbus grad Chris Kleiman's Kansas State Wildcats offered him in November. Yet it was Nielsen's fourth offer that stood out above the rest. The Iowa Hawkeyes came calling in mid-January, offering him a spot to play college football for the school he had grown up rooting for. Although the Iowa offer jump-started a recruiting whirlwind, as offers from Wisconsin, Tennessee, Penn State, Missouri, Minnesota, and Nebraska poured in over the next 2 months, Nielsen could not shake the feeling that Iowa would be the place he would end up choosing. According to Nielsen, the coaching staff in Iowa City helped separate the Hawkeyes from the pack. With 9 Power 5 offers to his name, the hulking prospect decided to wrap up his recruitment on Monday. In a post on X, formerly known as Twitter, Nielsen announced his decision to stay home and committed to Iowa as the first member of the Hawkeyes 2026 recruiting class. Nielsen's post garnered over 200,000 views in 24 hours. According to West head coach Lonnie Moore, Iowa is a great fit for Nielsen. Reflecting on the timeline of his recruitment and commitment, Nielsen said the time was right to commit. Making the decision during the later half of his sophomore year at West also put Nielsen in the unique spot as the Hawkeyes' first commit in the class of 2026. A Waterloo man has won a lottery prize of nearly $35,000. Curtis Lane won a jackpot prize in the Monopoly Game Tokens Progressive Instaplay game from the Iowa Lottery and licensed by Scientific Games LLC. He purchased his winning ticket at K&M Corner, 1830 North Raymond Road in DeWar, and claimed his prize of $34,908.90 on Friday at the lottery's Cedar Rapids regional office. It is a $5 game that features a unique play style based on the classic board game. Its progressive jackpot starts at $5,000 and increases with every ticket sold statewide until it is won. Instaplay games, which range in price from $1 to $30, combine features from instant scratch and lotto games to give players an option with no numbers to pick, play slips to fill out, or wait for a drawing. Instaplay tickets are known as scratchless because they have no security coding that needs to be removed to determine the prize won. The tickets are printed on demand from the lottery terminal. From now until 9:59 a.m., May 29th, players can enter non-winning tickets from the Iowa Lottery's Monopoly games for a chance to win one of 15 prizes of $10,000. Eligible for entry are Monopoly Game Tokens Progressive Instaplay tickets purchased on or after March 20th or Monopoly 20X Scratch tickets. For more information, visit iowalottery.com. A local favorite is getting even more recognition, this time from the place it calls home. Big Head Burger in Waterloo has been named one of the top 10 burgers in the state by the Iowa Beef Industry Council. The Ames-based trade organization's competition for the best burger is now in its 15th year, with the 10 finalists determined by public votes. Anonymous judges visit each restaurant to determine the winner, which will be announced next week. The recognition comes months after the restaurant at 324 West 4th Street was chosen to represent Iowa in a Taste of Home magazine listing of the best burger in every state. Everything is fresh. For one, we grind our own beef. All of our sauces, things that are related to the burger, are of the highest importance to us, said Big Head Burger owner David Bryant. We're a burger place, so we take that very seriously, and we do our best to provide as much value as possible to the customer and to put out a fantastic product. Their most popular burger, Bryant said, is their Western burger, made with fresh beef, cheddar cheese, onion rings, and the sweet 180 barbecue sauce made by Sioux City native Todd Johns of Plowboys Barbecue. You get a lot of tanginess from the barbecue sauce, the real richness from the beef, a slight smokiness from the cheese, and a little sweetness from the onion ring. It all rounds out in what we hope is 360 degrees of flavor, Bryant said. Big Head Burger reached the top 10 after a month-long nomination process. As a special 15th anniversary edition, all previous Iowa's Best Burger winners were allowed to compete against the newcomers. Bryant says winning Iowa's Best Burger would mean a lot to him, his restaurant, and the city. We're all from up the street, really. The people we employ are from Waterloo for the most part. It's something good that we can be proud of, and the work that put in is starting to gain a bit more traction. Either way, we're really appreciative of the people who come in, who spend their hard-earned money, and are kind and gracious, who have an appreciation for what we do. The Iowa Beef Industry Council will announce the winner May 1st to kick off Beef Month. If you're looking for weekend activities, here's what's on the roster. Kids will enjoy late nights at the Imaginarium from 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursday. The event is at the Bluedorn Science Imaginarium. There will be science demonstrations at 6 and 7 p.m. Admission is $8 for children ages 4 to 13 and adults. Children 3 and under and museum members are free. The 1940 movie adaptation of the Thornton Wilder play Our Town will be shown as part of the spring film series on Friday at the Grout Museum District, 503 South Street. The movie will be screened in the state-of-the-art Norris Corson Family Planetarium at the Grout Museum. Viewing is from 7 to 10 p.m. Cost is $5 for members, $10 for non-members. Seating is limited, so pre-registration is required at groutmuseumdistrict.org. Fans of the Star Wars movie series and John Williams' Out of This World musical score will be over the moon about the Waterloo Cedar Falls Symphony Orchestra concerts this weekend. Concerts are at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday. The score will be played live by the orchestra while the iconic film is shown at the Catherine Cassidy Gallagher Great Hall at the Gallagher Bluedorn Performing Arts Center on the UNI campus. Tickets are available from $7 to $81 online at unitix.avenue.net, at the GB PAC box office, or by calling the Unitix box office or the WCF Symphony office at 319-273-3373. On Saturday, from 8:30 a.m. to noon, volunteers will celebrate Trails Day and Earth Day by cleaning up the Cedar Valley Nature Trail. Celebrate Trails Day is an annual spring celebration of trails. Volunteers will attempt to pick up trash on the entire 125-plus-mile Cedar Valley Trail Network in one day. If you can assist, send an email with the number of people in your group and your preferred location, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, George Wythe State Park, Hudson, Evansdale, Cedar Valley Nature Trail, to volunteer at cedarvalleytrails.org. Trail cleanup instructions and assigned location will be emailed prior to the event. Sip and Stroll in downtown Waterloo is an event hosted by Main Street Waterloo in collaboration with area college students. From noon to 6 p.m., participants can enjoy drink and food specials at participating businesses in downtown Waterloo on Friday, April 26th. This is a self-guided tour through downtown Waterloo. On Saturday, Corn Country Fest will feature Dolly Parton and Toby Keith tribute artists and the local band Throwback Jack at the National Cattle Congress. There will be a mobile axe throwing unit and vendors selling food and beverages. Doors open at 4:45 p.m. The tribute is from 5:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets are priced from $23 to $55, available at etix.com or at the NCC box office. On Monday, April 29th, the UNI Children's Choir, directed by Ryan O'Kenna, will present Night at the Movies from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Monday in Catherine Cassidy Gallagher Great Hall at the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center. Guest soloist is Kenesha Davis and the pianist is Marika Morita. The UNI New Horizons Band Spring Concert is Tuesday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. in the Catherine Cassidy Gallagher Great Hall. Pre-concert music will be performed in the lobby by a Marache band from the UNI School of Music. The concert is free with a short reception afterwards. And that does it for today's reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm your reader, Grace Barter. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, anytime. Thanks for listening.